to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Thank you for a really thoughtful conversation. It's been one of the most thoughtful conversations I've had about the book overall. And so I really appreciate it.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Everyone hates doing the books for their business except Sally Doyle. At Absolute Business Solutions, she is a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work that you are good at and keep leading. To set up a free consultation, call Sally 1-651-208-8151, or you can click on the information in the show notes and connect directly with Sally, who's a profit strategist, a bookkeeper, an innovative thinker at Absolute Business Solutions, and she is our sponsor. Loving it. Great. So today's mentoring conversation is with Julianne Siegel. Hi, Julianne.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're about to start a second conversation.
We are.
Yeah. How are you feeling now?
Good.
Yeah.
Uplifted.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's rock it.
Yep.
Out of the park today. I was thinking, we're putting on a We Mentor Mini Lab workshop together. It's our first for 2019. And we're going to focus on designing your office, home, and life through making a vision board. It's a powerful tool to create change in your workspace and your home space, living environment, and your entire life. Julianne is in the process of writing a book, and you heard in our first conversation that the title of her book is Change Your Space, Change Your Life. And that's exactly what she's been living through. She's noticed within your own life that every time you've made a move, your life has changed.
Correct.
And how you have designed the space as an interior designer has also shifted.
Right.
And why do you think that, what leads to you changing? I think like an interior designer is kind of like a writer.
Right.
Where they do
space.
Many edits before they're finished with the final.
Yes.
Book.
I had that experience today working on a project.
Tell us more.
It's a senior co-op where I'm creating a art gallery down a hallway, one of their floors. Every year I do a different floor. We do different themes.
Oh, cool.
And this one is cinema and theater. So as I'm designing the art going down the hallway, I have to notice what's going on both sides of the hallway and what makes sense to put in front of one another. So as I'm picking up the art and pulling it out and deciding where things go, I'm actually editing and know this, I went over here. No, I need to a different piece of art there that's a little softer, one that works better this way. You know, it's just the feel of it. And also you're going down a hallway. I don't want it to get too dark. There's going to be a lot of pictures, a lot of art going down the hall. So I have to really be conscious of the frames I'm picking out, what colors are there, and how things are just flowing. Making sure that the concept's flowing, the colors are flowing, the light is flowing
in the
space. So, yeah, it was just like writing a book.
More content.
Yes.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, I'm thinking that people could give themselves a Valentine's gift, a delayed one, that you get to actually realize on March 5th for our We Mentor Mini Lab.
Right. The vision boards are so powerful. I can tell you of an experience I had. I mean, I've had many of doing them and then having.
How long have you
been
doing vision boards?
I've been doing vision boards, oh gosh, probably I'd say for the last 15 years.
Okay.
15 years, and a lot of things have happened. One was kind of cool where, like, so we're going to be focusing on your office in your home, what you want it to feel like and look like. You can also put things in there of what you want to have happen in your life. And so this is a case where I wanted something to have happen in my life, but I didn't really think about it till I saw this picture in a magazine of this woman with a cell phone in her hand, and she was taking pictures, and you know, the vision today of everyone taking pictures with their cell phones. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to be really good at that. I'm going to get really good at posting things on Facebook. So I put that vision with that thought and that intention on my vision board. And then I saw this star, and it was just a big, it said star on it. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a star at it. I'm not just going to be average.
Yes.
So I put the star there. And then a few weeks later, I saw this piece of art that looks like a tribe of women. And it was very colorful. And I just was drawn to it. I didn't even know why. This was kind of unusual. I didn't know why I had this need to cut that out and put that next to it. But I did. My gut intuition told me. So I did that. So fast forward 6 months later, I'm at a conference to be trained in as an infinite possibility trainer. And I, in the very beginning, they said, they gave us a hashtag number to put all our postings because at the end they were going to have a contest. And I took the hashtag number down. I didn't even think about it. I wasn't thinking of my vision board. There were 200-300 people there. And I looked at, I posted that weekend of, it was maybe a 4-day weekend at this conference. I posted a few times and I just was having fun posting. I didn't even think about it, about like wanting to win. I forgot about the contest totally.
Yeah.
At the very end, they said, okay, we're going to name our winners. And they called up 5 people and I was not and one of them. And I'm like, that's fine, you know. It's fine. And so, but then they said, but the grand prize winner is Julianne Siegel.
Oh.
And so I was the star. I wasn't just one of the winners.
Yes, that's awesome.
So that was like, wow. But then also, what was so unique is that at this conference is the Infinite Possibility Conference. They call the people we were with like-minded people, and they made a big point to say we're with our tribe, which really felt that way because we all connected at such a fun and deeper level. We were with our tribe. So I'm like, once I got back from the conference and I looked at my vision board, I thought, oh, the tribe. I had the tribe next to the woman being a great star at, you know, posting. So it's like,
perfect.
You know, but there's so many stories I can tell you about.
So it comes about differently.
Yes. You can't even imagine what you try to manifest. And sometimes it's better than you can imagine. So you always have to let go when you're trying to manifest, make something happen. You have to just always think about the end result. Because if you try to figure out how it's going to happen, you're going to mess yourself up trying to make the hows. We call those the cursed hows. You have to just let go and let life take you, you know, and
right.
Just really focus on the end result.
Yes. Excellent. Oh, yeah. I'm getting really energized. I can't wait for our workshop.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll have to make one too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be a participant.
Yeah.
As well as co-mentoring. Yeah. So it's a great gift that you can give yourself and delay it. And you've got some really good tips of the power of vision boards. I've done vision boards sporadically, and I have had some results, but I don't know. I think I need the training in order to really
right.
understand exactly how to put together the vision board in a way that I feel like I can manifest what I would like to.
Right. And a lot of that is about getting more clarity in your life.
Yeah.
Getting more clear.
Right. And I think, like I did one last year, And I remember sitting down, and I hadn't thought about it ahead of time. I knew that we were going to do a vision board, but I hadn't really like prepared, like thought about it. That's why I think it's great that we're going to send people some information ahead of time for them to start the work.
So when they get to the workshop,
that they are further along. And it's fun because everybody attending the workshop will have done some of the homework ahead of time.
Right.
So it'll be fun to kind of share that together. Yeah. And for those of you who missed our first conversation, Julianne Siegel is an interior designer, owner, and president of Metro Interiors. It's a design firm dedicated to creating beautiful spaces through mindfulness, energy, and intention. And that's really where you and I connect. Always on the cutting edge, Julianne's dynamic approach utilizes styles from eclectic to classic, modern to traditional, blending the ancient art of feng shui with a variety of contemporary interior design practices. Metro Interiors redesigns spaces to reveal environments rich in comfort, beauty, balance, and harmony. Metro Interiors was also highlighted in the Minnesota Small Business Association Success Story column made on the 20 Best Interior Designers in Minneapolis for 2018 and 2019. Wow. Julianne is a nationally highlighted public speaker. She's spoken for Best Buy, KitchenAid at the Richfield, Minnesota store's new appliance display grand opening, on HGTV's show Room for Change, and was also featured several times as the guest designer displaying her own work. So we left off in our conversation about your personal life. You started your life in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right.
And then your family, which you're with, you have three siblings.
Two siblings.
Right. You're three together. Right. So your whole family moved from Cincinnati to Peoria, Illinois.
Correct.
Are your parents still alive?
My mom is.
Okay. Yeah. When did your dad pass away?
Oh, it's been, I think, 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
It's like it's the time just keeps going by, but it's been a little while now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is your mom still in Peoria?
No. Actually, one by one, my family ended up moving to Milwaukee.
Oh.
So when I go visit family in Milwaukee, everyone thinks I'm from there, but I never live there. So my mom, my brother is a physician, and he started there and built his family there in his practice. And then my sister and her husband moved with their kids, had a lot more kids. And
How many do they have?
They have 6 boys.
Oh, wow.
And they live in Milwaukee. And then at one point when my dad did get more ill, he had gone through an illness for many years with a lot of diabetes issues.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up moving to Milwaukee to be closer to my brother, who's the physician, and my sister, and they weren't that far. They tried once to move actually to Minneapolis, and it just didn't work. My mom moved here for years. They tried to sell their house, and it just wasn't selling.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom went back, and then it was, you know, quite a few years later, they decided to try Milwaukee, and the house sold right away. So I just think it was meant to be, and I'm not so far away. I go 3 or 4 times a year to visit.
Nice.
And I see everyone all in one place. So.
Mm-hmm. And you made your own way here to Minneapolis with an job opportunity.
Right.
Which was at 2112
Design Studio.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you took a few jobs, and we left off with in 1992 when you started your own business.
Right.
You had met the man that you married.
Right.
And what happened from there?
I didn't start with 1 penny to my name, I remember. I just started, you know, I had clientele, which was good, that I had built up for 5 years, and then a lot of them stayed with me, and I just started, you know, working on their homes more, and I learned a lot about business. I had to learn, you know, get a accounting program, and just the right people would come around at the right time.
Hmm.
I originally went to school, I should tell you this, for business, but by my second semester, I was enrolled in the art program doing interior design, and that's an interesting story how that came about. We can come back to. but I learned business very, it came very easy to me. And the right people at the right time, like I said, came into my life to help me as consultants to, you know, do what I needed to do for whether it was marketing or accounting or all the other aspects that went with the art.
Because you had the sales down and you had the interior design down.
But I think I'm naturally a businesswoman. I think that's part. I think I have imbalanced in those areas.
Maybe that's why people pointed out at an early age.
Right.
You know, that you should own your own business because you had both.
Right. And then I had the creative part. So I'm getting to do both because there's a lot of designers that are really, you know, really talented, but they might not have the practicality of running the business.
Yeah.
You know, and vice versa. And I think the people that do what I do are, you know, have a balance of those understandings.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think that you continue to do well is because you're always thinking like a business person.
Right. And I've had my own business for so long. I don't, you know, I can't imagine not.
Yeah. So you built your life out here in Minneapolis and then you had four kids. How, when they were young, how did you balance that all out?
Well, I remember when my daughter was born, she's the oldest, it was very hard for me to switch, to
change. How far into your business, you were 5 years in? Or
No, my daughter was born in 94 and I started my business in 92.
Oh,
2 years
later.
But we got a nanny right away and I immediately went back to work. I remember after giving birth to four kids, being on the phone, like within hours of giving birth, being on the phone, like handling a client, making sure a client was taken care of or putting through an order or closing a deal. It's just, I had that type of energy. I think I've pulled in a little bit more and am more balanced in my life now than I was then.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of what, you know, a person needs to do when they're starting up.
Right.
And the fact that you were able to do all that is pretty incredible. Right. And you had help.
I had good helpers, right.
And you knew to get help.
Yes, I knew.
You know, that's
what I needed. And,
yeah.
And yeah, and it took me time to, like, I feel more like a mom now that my kids are, you know, in their 20s and one teenager, like, I'm more motherly now than I was back then. I had to kind of grow into that
role,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't come naturally?
Not totally. I thought it would, but it didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So after a while, you were going along, and what was happening in your relationship at that time?
I'm just trying to think. Well, when we got pregnant with the second child, mm-hmm. we had lived, first of all, we bought a townhome near Lake Calhoun and then got pregnant with the second child. And then we moved to the suburbs of Minnetonka. And that's where I moved my business into my home because I was in an office space.
Okay.
And it was a great home for a home office, just where it was located. And I could have a nanny there and they'd be upstairs. And it still had a lot of light in the lower level because it was... it had windows in the lower level, so it was a split level or split foyer.
Okay.
But there was windows in the whole lower level. It was all finished and everything. And it was, besides having a family room, I had a nice big office. Mm. And so it did work. And if I needed to check in with the kids, I could. By then in that home, I had a third child in that home. And then things started to really change again. I remember. And I remember my husband, you know, I am divorced from him, but I felt like we were not connecting as much. Just, you know, I don't know, things were changing. And then there was a move, and it was a tumultuous move. It wasn't easy. I had to do all the packing. And I remember after that move, we moved to St. Louis Park because my kids were now going to a Jewish private day school in St. Louis Park.
Was that Torah Academy?
Yes. Yep.
I taught there as a substitute teacher.
Wait, did you tell me that?
In elementary.
Very cool. What years?
Yeah.
Way back?
Yeah, way back. Yeah, after I came to the city. So it was in the late 80s,
okay,
probably.
Okay, so my kids weren't there yet.
No. Maybe that was a good thing.
No. I'm sure you were great.
But I was really impressed with that the English subjects were all covered in the morning. So yeah. That the kids could have lunch and then all Hebrew right. Until 4 o'clock
See,
in the afternoon.
You know more than me. So they went there and things were changing and we moved into a nice home in the first alphabet of St. Louis Park. And I just remember I wasn't happy anymore. Something happened, but I was still doing business and I had I remember having a space that I thought was supposed to be my office, which is off of a family room, but it wasn't closed off, and I wasn't getting anything done. Mm. And I was just graduated feng shui school.
Okay.
So I was learning a lot, and I didn't do my homework on how the space should be you know, looking for the house.
I
may have picked something different if I had known as much and been more, you know, knew more.
Yeah.
But I did know enough that because I was having a trouble focusing and things had kind of come to a stop, that I needed to hang a chime over my head at my desk.
Mm.
And what that does, metal helps you to focus. And that was the intention. And it really helped ever since I got the chime over my head. This was already several months after we had moved. Things started going smoothly. I started thinking clearly. And then I realized that this room that I was going to have as a playroom in the back was where I needed to move my office because I could shut it and it was a big space and the kids could have the whole family room. Mm-hmm. You know, there was upstairs and downstairs. It was a big house.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did with the intention that eventually I was going to get out of that house.
Yeah.
Because it just, the energy wasn't right.
Okay.
I don't know if it was, you know, partly the relationship. You know, there's always things, partly the way the house is set up. There's a lot of things, of factors that goes into why things are happening. Some of it's just meant to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, that my husband and I were changing and...
Yeah. And so when you made the decision to get a divorce, then you needed to move again.
Well, I wasn't totally... agreed upon getting a divorce at one point. It took 5 years to get to that spot. Because one day he brought it up and I was shocked. I had not even thinking that way. And then it made me start thinking. And then I felt, you know, neglected a little bit and not knowing where things were going. So I thought, oh my gosh, if we got divorced, I really need to boost my business to a bigger, you know, level where I'm making more money. Cause what if I have to support myself? What if he can't, you know, always pay my way or, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So I ended up renting a Victorian historical home, around Loring Park. And one of the guys that I work with, cause I know a lot of real estate people,
mm-hmm.
He offered it to me at a good price. And I only got it for my business, not knowing if I was going to get divorced. But I remember my kids having a fit. Oh, you're leaving us. I'm like, no, that's just my office. You know, to me, it really was just my office. And for like 2 years, it really was my office until it was apparent that we really needed to start the divorce. And for a year, I ended up living in that office home that I had actually fixed up. I did a lot of changes to change the energy in that home. Because before that, they had people living in there that were just young people in bands, and nope, they couldn't even keep track of who was on the lease. So people, the energy was sporadic. And I very much feng shui'd it that when I finally did leave that house, the guy that I rent from, his top you know, his tenant ended up asking him if they could take over the house at that time.
Oh.
So I brought stability to it through my feng shui knowledge and my interior design knowledge. And he let me do a lot of remodeling.
So when I hear feng shui, I think right away energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't thought about Well, and I think of stuff that mm-hmm. you're putting in a room,
right?
You know that,
right?
Change the energy. So you've talking about like for focus, metal,
right?
Or for crystals play a part,
right? Well, in this particular place, it really needed a lot of repairs.
Okay.
So when things are not in repair, it can really throw your life in havoc. And if you the longer you don't repair them, the more crazy life can get. For example, think of your front door, and if it you try to open it and it doesn't, you know, open well, and you get frustrated, and finally you get it open, you walk in your house, and you get frustrated at your kids or your husband or whoever's there, it doesn't matter. That energy comes right into the home with you. Now you get your door fixed and it's smooth. It opens. You can walk in. Maybe you have a
different
bench.
Feeling.
Yeah, you have a bench to sit down, take your shoes off, a mirror to check yourself, you know, have everything in place so that it flows.
Yeah.
And now things are flowing. So this particular Victorian home needed a lot of repairs, and I've noticed them. And the owner of the house let me call his staff when things needed to be done, and they did it. And it just kept going and going. So by the time I moved out, the last year I would live there 6 months, half the year at my home where my ex would be living with his parents. And then every other week we'd switch.
Oh, so you kept the kids at the house.
At the house.
And you and your husband then, through the divorce, would switch off. And you were the ones moving.
We were the ones moving back and forth for 6 months. And then we decided to sell the house. And it was...
Did the kids like that arrangement?
They accepted it, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go in that direction, I mean, usually it's the kids moving.
Right. No, well, it wasn't forever like that, but... It worked out
for that time period,
yeah.
And created some stability for them you guys were setting up your own lifestyle.
Figuring it out, and we had to go through the divorce. And then for 6 months, I lived there all by myself. My kids, once in a while, some of the boys would come and stay with me for a weekend, but I really needed that time to regroup so that I can go forward and be strong. It was a good time in that I really visualized my life going forward, and a lot of good things happened because I took the time
to reflect and figure out what you wanted.
I did that, and I stayed in contact with the kids, and I really couldn't go purchase or go anywhere else because until the divorce was final, I didn't know what I can do financially.
Sure.
So I was kind of had to stay there. And that's what happened. And I created the upper level into a nice, cozy bedroom. I lived without a real kitchen for 6 months, but it was fine. I had this beautiful built-in that I had designed in this area that would have been a kitchen with a conference room, but it was a homey feel to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I made it all work with that Victorian feel and with a little contemporary splashes too. It was very nice. It was an interesting time in my life. I only had a microwave and a toaster oven to work from. But I even made like a steak in that, you know.
Yeah.
I figured it out and made it work. And when it was time to get when the divorce was final and I had to really figure out what to do, the place came to me just so easily. I didn't even have to hardly go look. I started to look and nothing was happening. And then I had a friend call me one day and said, hey, this apartment in my building is for rent. You should come see it. And I'm like, I can't live there. It's too expensive. Or, you know, it was really nice high rise on Lake Calhoun. And I just didn't think I could do it. And I had actually met the manager like 6 months before, the property manager. And when I went in there, he was so happy to see me, and because they needed some redecorating in that building.
Sure.
So he gave me a good price on it to get started. And I have to tell you this, I did have a high-rise city, you know, urban building like that and an interior on one of my vision boards that I was going to live in a space just like that.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't, it just came to me. And at just the right time, and that was a hard place to get into at the time too. But I knew the guy that lived there. He had been a friend of mine, and I had seen him recently in the last year. So it just happened And then the next year after living there, they hired me to do the hallways. And I did all 22. And wow. It was great.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, things were going really well. Mm-hmm. Things, I knew that the apartment had an extension in wealth, so it would help me. You know, I was looking for things that were going to support me because I didn't know if my ex-husband, he would stick to his end of the deal, which 2 years after divorce, he didn't. But things had happened in his life that majorly changed. Mm-hmm. So I had to let go of all that and just really do it on my own. So I was smart, I think, when I'm looking back,
yeah,
to take that time
smart.
To reflect and yeah. then not just rush, just like let it all one step at a time happen. And but keep going, not, you know, keep taking your baby steps.
Yeah. I think you have that inbred in you to keep going, that stick with it.
Right.
And see it through.
Exactly. It, very true.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, excellent. I know with interior design, the lifestyle and the business fluctuates a lot, mm-hmm. just like any coaching and consulting businesses. How have you managed to work with that, with all the fluctuations? And because you've added some things in that have
right.
created lots of ways that you can generate income.
Right.
And I love the model that you have for that. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I've always been smart with, you know, saving money too and having some savings mm-hmm. since my divorce, especially.
Yeah, so a cushion.
So before that time frame, I never knew what a cushion was. I thought my ex-husband's business was our retirement. That was like going to be it, you know, and I
yeah.
just would. And I had debt.
Because he had his own business too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it worked out. There were other plans. And, you know, I'm doing new things now as well, like adding in workshops and writing a book. And
you're selling some products.
Yeah.
You frame pictures.
I sell a lot. That's the bulk of my business is selling all the furniture. You know, I consult, but I sell all the furnishings and the window treatments. And I have so many great lines. In fact, I love keeping up on all that. So in a week and a half, I'm going to Las Vegas Market, where I will get updated on all the newest, greatest, latest furnishings
yeah.
that I bring back to my clients.
Right. So your business model has mm-hmm. a lot of different revenue streams.
Right, right.
Which
creating
helps,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I have some people just hire me to do a feng shui consultation.
Yeah.
So I'll just come in and I'll give them all the ideas and we'll really focus on that. Some people will do that and then they'll hire me for a project and then to bring the feng shui also into the furnishings and, you know, and mm-hmm. just have it feel good and look really great. And
yeah.
Yeah, so I have a variety of many different clients, types of clients.
Terrific. And you've been really good about getting help when you need help.
Right.
You were part of the We Mentor Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring mm-hmm. Lab.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you could share some of the things that you've learned in being part of the lab so that if other people are thinking, gee, I need some help.
Right.
What have you
right.
experienced?
Well, I wanted to do this because I was a little unclear. I was, you know, working on a book and doing seminars. And Nancy, you just came. How did you come? You were
through Jody Stanty.
Yeah.
With Talent Performance
right. So, like, remember how I said just the right people come into my life to help me at the right time?
Yes.
Well, that's you. So I was unclear. And just taking the time out to talk about these things, seeing where I was at. You know, Nancy, you helped me too in like my new relationship and all the new things that were coming. And you had a, you know, understanding of book writing and understanding of workshops from doing a lot yourself.
Yeah.
That brought to the table. So that was all really good. And the treats we'd have. We always had to have snacks, which was really fun. In the middle of the day and do some little yoga too.
Yeah.
Because you got to balance things.
Right.
It's all about balance.
Yeah. And what did you think about the curriculum that we went through? I mean, it
yeah.
was
oh, well, I learned
a 6 month instead of a 24 session, 12 month.
It was fine. I just like yeah. the once a month coming for me, that's what I needed at the time.
Once a month, and the individual.
Yeah, and also you coming separate.
Mm-hmm.
You came separately to meet with me and just help me focus on whatever came up at the moment, right?
Right, exactly.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, and that worked.
Yes.
And right. Here we are. Out of it.
I know.
You've gotten on the podcast.
Yeah.
To share your story. And also your experiences. Plus, we're collaborating together in this upcoming We Mentor Mini Lab.
Yes.
And
it's going to be
fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, I'll have some information in the show notes. It's March 5th. It's from 3 to 8 p.m. Oh, you know where we're going to be? In the Brookview Community Center Golden Valley.
I was very impressed with the interior design and the energy there.
Yes.
So it's very positive, and the light that comes in the room we're going to be in is so comforting.
Yeah,
very
it is.
Comforting.
Lots of windows,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a lot of space mm-hmm. so that we can have a lot of materials to work on the
right.
vision boards.
Right. And by the way, you don't have to bring your own materials. I will bring all those for you. The only thing you need to bring is 3 magazines or more that you're done working with that you could share with others, because we take a lot of our photos and pictures from the magazines that we're working with.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I know this isn't something that you normally do.
No.
You love doing workshops and working directly with people. I appreciate you taking the risk. I think that's part of your charm, and it's also part of why you're a success in business, is you keep taking risks and putting yourself out in the world in different places to see what happens.
Right. It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, thanks for being here. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. And this week, first, get on the list and sign up. Nancy@wementor.com. I'll send you some information, or Julianne will. We're kind of working out the details yet.
Right.
But we'll get you some information so you can start planning for the workshop, because this is really a lot of fun to do, and it'll re-energize yourself. So get started on that. And even if you're not joining the workshop, you can still start re-evaluating your space. Do you have any tips for people at home that would, for their office space?
I say the first thing you want to do is declutter. Get rid of things that you don't love, you don't use, don't have any meaning for you anymore. And then we'll take it from there. You can have me for a consultation.
Yeah.
And see where it goes.
Great, great. So we'll put some pieces around that, like your contact information. Yeah. Okay, see everybody next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.